Well, I really enjoyed that time of worship this morning. And we're really trying to keep working at our worship, praise God. I appreciate Robert leading us, and I appreciate the two men coming out here and helping us, leading us in singing, and Tim playing. Great choice of music, and it's great to worship God together, isn't it? Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of James. James, if you'd open it to chapter 1, we'll be dipping in there at one point in the message, and then we'll, toward the end of the message, we're going to be looking at James chapter 3. So just a couple of brief dips into the book of James during the message, but most of the verses that you'll be needing today are on your bulletin sheet, if you'd have it open to the Unifold. We've been doing a series of messages on the family called Our Home, and the title of this morning's message is Bad Words. These are not good. Let's pray. Father, we pray that we would identify the bad words in each of our own individual lives. And Lord, that we would avoid these, turn from these, and put on good words that don't hurt others, that help others and bring health. Oh Lord, speak to us, we pray. Lord, we surrender our hearts to listen. And as we've just sung, Jesus, you are all that I ever hoped to be. All glory to you. Amen. David writes, "My granddaughter Bree loves the circus, but she was afraid of the tiger. She had no reason to be afraid of the tiger, however, because first of all, the tiger was tamed, and secondly, it was caged. And then also, it was hopelessly overweight, and he says, I suspect that it had also lost all its teeth. Along with its lion friends, the striped beauty went through its routine in meek subjection. You can tame a tiger, he says, a lion, a leopard, and other wild animals, especially if you work with them from birth. And for some reason, that made me think of a Tyrannosaurus. I know it's totally impossible, but what if you were able to have a young Tyrannosaurus? Would you be able to tame that? And, well, if you were able to tame such a beast, it would certainly be something to go and see, wouldn't it? And I wonder if you put your head inside its mouth. Yeah, all kinds of animals have been tamed, but no one is able to tame the tongue, James says. I'm not going to argue with that. It's the word of God, and I believe it. Of ourselves, we're not able to tame the tongue, but by the Spirit of God, we're able to make mega progress. And we need to make mega progress for the sakes of our families, for harmony, so that we might have harmony between husband and wife, between parents and children, yes, and even between the kids themselves. All that is possible if we learn to tame our tongues. And to help in the process of taming our tongues, we have been considering what the book of Proverbs says about the tongue. And as I said to someone this morning, when we've been through the message today, we will, over the four messages, have looked at every single verse in Proverbs on the tongue. We've had two messages on good words, and we've had one message on bad words to help us get it right. And this morning we need to complete the process. We've already looked at four categories of bad words: critical words, angry words, fighting words, and lying words. And we've realized that all of those words can disrupt family life. Today we're going to consider five further categories of bad words. Bad words to avoid so that we might seek harmony in our homes. We need this. Communication is the key to family life. Either it promotes family health or it incites family hurt. Since our tongue resides in our body, in other words, it belongs to us, we have the opportunity of control over it, to choose healthy words or hurtful words. What do you choose? The first category of bad words for us to avoid today is juicy words. Juicy words. Yep, some words can be as tempting as junk food and just as destructive. Proverbs 18 and verse 8 says, "The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body." Literally, the word translated talebearer means murmuring or whispering. But talebearer or gossip is good interpretive translation of the verse. Thus, one paraphrase says, "There is nothing so delicious as the taste of gossip. It melts in your mouth." Well, at least to some, anyway. Yep, gossip may appear to be a juicy treat, but there's death in swallowing it, just as there is in fast food. Gossip, you see, reveals what should be kept private. It repeats what is none of our business. Proverbs 11 and verse 13 says, "A talebearer or gossip reveals secrets, but he who has faithful spirit conceals a matter." You might want to circle that word, conceals. Proverbs 20 and verse 19 says, "He who goes about as a talebearer or a gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips." The idea is, do not associate with the gossip, do not associate with the flatterer with words. When gossip starts, one solution is to walk away. As this verse says, don't associate with gossips or those who flatter. Verse 19, therefore do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Another solution is as in Proverbs 11 and verse 13, and suggests that we ought to conceal the matter. So when gossip starts, you have two godly ways to deal with that, I guess. Either you can just walk away because you know it is gossip, or you might say to the person who's gossiping, "Shouldn't you go to so-and-so and talk about that? If it is Fred they are talking about, shouldn't you go to Fred and talk about that particular matter?" If the gossip, the person who is gossiping, has any conscience at all, that ought to stop them in their tracks and conceal the matter. We should be concealing those private things, not spreading them. Gossip appears to be a juicy treat, but there's death in listening to it, because it repeats what should be kept private, and that destroys people's lives. Gossip can in fact wreck a family. Proverbs 16 and verse 28 says, "A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer or a gossip separates the best of friends." Proverbs 17 and verse 9, "He who covers a transgression," or looks over sin, "he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter," as in gossiping, "separates friends." To protect our families and others, do not listen to gossip. Do not repeat gossip. And don't listen to gossip in the first place that you can repeat it. So number three is the same as number one. Don't listen to it in the first place. And seek to stop gossip by suggesting that you go and talk to the person about it. ABC News, Thursday, April 1st, 2010. U.S. general declares war on junk food. Banned U.S. soldiers eating hamburgers at Bagram Air Base. The U.S. commander in Afghanistan, General Stanley McChrystal, has banned American and NATO troops from eating fast food. The general, who runs 13 kilometres a day and only eats one meal a day, has ordered junk food outlets on military bases to be closed. I didn't know they had them in the first place, but apparently they do. Military leaders say the decision was made because Afghanistan is a war zone and not an amusement park. Yeah, well, we're in a war zone too. We're in spiritual warfare. Satan wants to disrupt families, and gossip is just one way of the nine categories of bad words in which he does disrupt families. Gossip is more dangerous to the health than any junk food, but we might take it less lightly. It destroys relationships. Declare war on gossip, won't you? Ban it from your life. And I'm not aware of any gossip in this church, praise God. That's not why I'm dealing with it today. We're just moving through the scriptures here. Let's ban it from our lives. The second category of bad words to avoid for us to consider today is proud words. Firstly, juicy words. Secondly, proud words. The proud man or woman likes to talk about themselves. Proverbs 20 and verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, But who can find a faithful man? Everyone says they're great, but who can actually find someone who's great? Most men will say they're good, and most men will not admit their own sin when it comes to the point. And therein lies the problem in relationships. How do you ever repair wrong with a proud person who never admits that there was wrong? How can you ever reconcile a relationship without confession of the sin and then forgiveness? Well, you can't, not completely. Of course, the offended party is not to hold it against the proud person, whatever they said or did to them. But until there is confession and forgiveness, that relationship is not fully restored. So then in a marriage relationship, an offense occurs. But the offending person will not admit their sin. And so there is a brick placed in the relationship. Another offense occurs, and still there is no confession of sin, and another brick is placed in the relationship. And then another, and another. Pretty soon there is a complete wall in the relationship, and you wake up one morning and look at the person in the bed next to you and realize there's no connection between you. A wall has come up between you. Pride is both common and awful. Proud words will destroy relationships, as we've been emphasizing and as we shall see. Now, Proverbs 21 and verse 24 says, "A proud and haughty man, scoffer." Now, that's how a proud and haughty man speaks. Scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. Because he's always right, he puts everyone else down. He scoffs. And that scoffing is going to destroy relationships, isn't it? When you're wrong, some of the best advice that we can give married couples is, when you're wrong, admit it. And when you're right, keep quiet. But the proud person does neither. He does exactly the opposite. When he's right, he trumpets it, lets everyone know. And when he's wrong, well, it was someone or something else he finds to blame. Therefore, Proverbs gives this advice, Proverbs 30 and verse 32. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. If you say proud words, put your hand to your mouth. When that happens, it's a miracle for the proud person. But oh, how so healthy for family relationships. Just stop those proud words. Then, having stopped proud words, follow this advice, Proverbs 27 and verse 2. Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth. A stranger, and not your own lips. It's going to pay dividends in family harmony. I repeat, proud words wreck family relationships, and Proverbs 13 and verse 10 nails that one. It says, by pride comes nothing but strife. It's going to cause strife in the family. So, do you think you have it all together? Or are you humble enough to learn? That's a test for pride. One restaurant had this advertisement. "We are hungry for advice," they had on their window. "Ring 1800, yes, 1800. Your comments count. Phone us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's free. Oh, and thanks." I guess they figured the more they listened to the customers, the more they'd get it right, and the more they get it right, the more money they'd make. Money is a poor motive, but listening is a great attitude. An attitude of humility that is willing to learn from what others feed back to us. Imagine how that would improve your family. Imagine sitting round the table and each person round. I hope you take time to sit around the table and chat to each other. But suppose we're sitting around the table and imagine each one said, "I'd really like your advice. Your input counts. You can talk to me anytime. I will listen and I'll really do my part to try and make this family a haven of refuge from the world out there." Such humility builds family life. And while we're at it, if you have anything to say about this church, I want your input, and I want you to come and see me. In fact, that is part of my reason for visiting families in this church, any family that'll have me come. I like to ask, how are you motoring? Any issues for you? I believe we all want this church to be a lighthouse for both truth and love. And if we work together, we can do it. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But we want to be humble enough to admit sin. We want to keep growing. Amen? Proud words destroy families. Humble words build them up. Which do you choose for your family? Proverbs 14 and verse 3 says, "In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them." The third category of bad words for today, which takes the total to 7, we can use our tongues in a lot of bad ways, can't we? Is careless words. Careless words. The wise man controls his words. The foolish man shows no control but pours out foolish words, careless words. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And Proverbs 13 and verse 3. He who guards his mouth, restrains his lip and guards his mouth, preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. So the key there in those two verses is control. It is not wrong to speak. It's appropriate to share what we know. But it's wrong to hold the stage. A proud man holds back. A prudent man holds back, and a foolish man holds nothing back, as Proverbs 12 and verse 23 says. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. A foolish man likes to hear his own voice, but it's not truth, it's just prattle. Proverbs 15 and verse 7 says, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of fools does not do so." Dan writes, "Recently a friend sent me an email with the heading, 'Well,' and the content of the email said, 'Well, what do you think? Wasn't the choir awesome? I saw you there with Michelle, but I couldn't tell who the other person was. I hope you enjoyed the evening. God bless you. Hope to catch you this week.' Seemed a little strange," he writes, "because I was 800 miles away from that particular concert. I had certainly not been with Michelle, whoever she was, and wasn't likely to see him that week, so how could he expect to see me? Obviously, the email was sent by mistake," I concluded. "But I wonder who it was for." And he began scrolling through the address box and found a list that went on forever. With a single mistaken click, my friend had sent his little personal note to over 300 people. Within an hour, an oops message arrived, apologizing for the error and saying how glad he was that he hadn't said anything really embarrassing. He also mentioned receiving more response from the mistake than anything else he'd sent. Too often, we pay a much higher price for our careless words. The whole thing, Dan says, the whole thing make me ponder about what I say. My casual words to family and friends carry the power to damage or to help, and may go far beyond my intended audience. Have you ever said, "I didn't mean to say that," or have you ever thought, "I shouldn't have said that"? Is there any of us who could say, "I've never said a careless word"? Trouble is, at the time we did mean to say it, and perhaps even worse, we did at that particular time mean to hurt. And no, we shouldn't have said it. There are a lot of things that come to mind that we shouldn't say, so we need a drafting gate for our mouth. You know what a drafting gate is? Perhaps you know the sheep race where there's two parallel fences, just a sheep wide, and the sheep have to go down this narrow race. And at the end of the race, there's one holding pen, and then there's another holding pen. And there's a little gate right at the end of the race that directs the sheep into one holding pen or the other. That's called a drafting gate. Well, we need a drafting gate on our mouths for what helps and what hurts. If it's going to help someone, we let it out. If it's going to merely hurt someone, we keep that drafting gate closed. We leave it unsaid. The issue is control. James says we need to put a rein on our tongues. James chapter 1 and verse 26. "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, This one's religion is useless. Pretty convicting, eh? If we haven't got it right with the tongue, we haven't got it right. Fourth, worse than careless words are perverse words. Perverse words. The idea is contradictory, contrary, perverse. It is often associated with resisting and rebellion of heart. Perverseness is associated with pride and stubbornness. Perverse. And this is what Proverbs has to say about perverse words. Proverbs 4 and verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. In other words, don't use contradictory, perverse words. Proverbs 6 and verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Proverbs 6 and verse 14. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. And again we see how these bad words destroy relationships. Be sure of it. Perverse words sow discord. To fast track family disharmony, just contradict everything that is said. Juicy words disrupt families. Proud words disrupt families. And perverse words certainly disrupt families also. Perverse has the idea of resisting, twisting, turning back, turning aside or distorting. So there's quite a range of meaning, but just difficult people. You say black, they say white. Perverse. Rebellious children are perverse, contradicting everything that is said by the parents. But couples can be perverse with each other too. We are to put off perversity and put on righteousness. Proverbs 8 and verse 8 says, all the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Wow, I hope we could say that sometime. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. We must put off perversity and put on righteousness because God hates perversity. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. You see, the perverse mouth is associated with wickedness and pride. Proverbs 10:32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. And perverseness, let me underline it, destroys family relationships. Proverbs 15 and verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A perverse tongue hurts others to the point of even perhaps breaking the spirit. That is a horrible thing, to break someone's spirit in the home where there should be a place of love and refuge. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. A perverse man sows strife. Yeah, that's what will happen in the family. And many more. I only did about half the words there on perversity in the book of Proverbs. In 1520, one person stepped off a Spanish ship in Mexico and caused the death of thousands of people. The man was a soldier under the leadership of Panfilo de Narvaez, and he had smallpox. The soldier didn't know it, but wherever he went, he exposed an unexposed population to smallpox, and the citizens caught the disease. The ensuing smallpox epidemic led to many thousands of deaths among the Mexican people. The attitude of perverseness can be just as contagious and just as deadly in the family. If you cannot go for 24 hours without saying unkind words about someone, or if you cannot go 24 hours without saying perverse words to someone, then you have lost control of your tongue. That's the conclusion of Joseph Telushkin, who lectures on the awesome power of words. He suggests taking a revealing tongue test to see where you stand. Monitor your conversation for 2 days, he suggests. Note on a piece of paper every time you say something negative to someone, or every time you say something negative about someone. Also record when others say something negative, how you react to that. He concludes that most of us who take this test are unpleasantly surprised. Words hurt, or words heal. You choose what you want and what you're going to encourage in your family. The final category of bad words for us to consider is spiteful words. Spiteful words. Careless words are bad enough and perverse words are worse, but the pinnacle, the sharp point, the knife point of bad words comes with spiteful words. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbour, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. Now the word hypocrite there has the idea of ungodly. The godless person destroys his neighbour with his mouth and intends to do so. In fact, the same word is translated ungodly in Psalm 35. Psalm 35 and verse 16. Watch how David's enemies use their mouths against him. With ungodly mockers at feast, they gnashed at me with their teeth, David writes. You see, the spiteful tongue mocks, destroys, devours, pierces, hurts. The spiteful tongue, like Satan, wants to chew others up and spit them out. As verse 9 says, Proverbs 11 and verse 9, the ungodly with his mouth destroys his neighbour, and he intends to do so. It's pretty sad when family relationships are so low that family members are actually spiteful, use spiteful words against one another. God forbid that spiteful words would be a characteristic of anyone here, because they're a characteristic of the ungodly. Yet it happens. Sadly, it happens. Spiteful words are tragically so common, they've given a modern name to it. Now they call it verbal abuse. Verbal abuse comes when spiteful words are thrown to control and damage time after time after time. Those using spiteful words try to humiliate you and will yell at you. They may try to criticize and put you down. They may belittle your accomplishments. They may blame you for inciting their spiteful words. They even put that back on you. This will leave you feeling afraid much of the time. You may avoid certain topics for fear of angering the spiteful person. You may finally believe you deserve to be hurt or mistreated in this kind of way. If you are in that situation, or know anyone in that situation, we want to help. Please seek help. I had spiteful words thrown at me as a primary school student by others, peers my age, not my parents, but I had spiteful words thrown at me, and I'm still working through that 50 years later. I want to help anyone else in that situation. And if you are the one using spiteful words, you must stop. You must get help. You must not destroy another person through your words. Get a control of your tongue. James chapter 3 and verse 2. We're going to start halfway through verse 2. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths and that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce wind, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. You have the power with every conversation, with every interchange, with every instant message. You have the power of words. With that power, you can build up or you can destroy. It's like the laser. Someone has written that a laser emits so powerful a light that you can vaporize a bulldozer, or it's so precise that it can be used for delicate eye surgery. The key is whether the operator changes the power setting from vaporize to delicate or not. Have you tried to vaporize someone recently with your words? To put down someone with a charge of words that destroys? To slam someone verbally with such force that they may never recover from it? Words can do that. Words can kill the spirit. These pitched verbal battles can happen between husband and wife or between parents and children. Sometimes the most powerful words are hurtful words, such as moron, idiot, loser, or a variety of other terms of destruction. Sometimes they can be words spoken with venomous intent, either loudly or sarcastically or rudely, such as liar, selfish, I hate you. Those are the vaporizer words, and they cause great pain. By the power of God's Holy Spirit, we can put off bad words and put on good. Today we're reminded to put off juicy words, gossip, proud words by admitting the wrong, careless words by staying in control, having that drafting gate on our mouth, and perverse words and spiteful words, we just don't use them at all. Verbal abuse is the razor point of bad words. Let it not even be named amongst those who profess Christ. Can you see how avoiding bad words will help your family? Let's pray. There may be someone here this morning that the Spirit of God has spoken to directly through the Word of God, and you have some things to say to the Lord. Just want to give you the opportunity for a time of quiet prayer. Tell Him what you need to tell Him right now. Father, I am sorry for my bad words. And I realize that once I've said them, I can't take them back. I pray, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you might put that drafting gate on my mouth, that the bad will be held back and the good spoken. Oh, Lord, we pray for our families. We pray that there might be words of encouragement and help and, yes, discipline, but not spiteful and perverse words. We pray that these would be removed from our families. And we pray for us as a church, Lord. We pray that we might, especially during the times of Kappa and other times of fellowship, we might find words to build up, bless, encourage, help, and transform other people's lives to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray it in His name. Amen.